WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Royal Tenenbaums is a new comedy directed by Wes Anderson, who co-wrote the screenplay with Owen Wilson. It's the same duo who made the 1998 prep school comedy Rushmore. Wilson is one of the stars of the Royal Tenenbaums. Gene Hackman plays Royal Tenenbaum. Angelica Houston plays his estranged wife. Their children are played by Ben Stiller, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Luke Wilson, Owen's brother. John Powers has a review.
The trouble with making a beloved movie like Rushmore is that your next picture is a real setup. Your detractors hope you turn out a flop so they can say, "I told you so." And your fans tend to want something even worse. They want you to make it again. I suspect both groups will be surprised by The Royal Tenenbaums, a wonderful new ensemble comedy that takes writer-director Wes Anderson into riskier emotional territory than he's previously dared. As Jonathan Franzen did in The Corrections, Anderson pushes beyond the stylistic flourishes of his earlier work to tackle a deeply felt story of family life. The movie is set in an idealized New York City and stars Gene Hackman as Royal Tenenbaum, a selfish louse with a toupee that resembles roadkill. Royal was once married to Etheline, played by Angelica Houston, and when they separated, he left behind three children, all of them prodigies. Chaz was a financial whiz, Richie a junior tennis champ, and Margot a prize-winning playwright in the ninth grade. But those glory days were decades ago. Now Chaz, that's Ben Stiller, is a widower, perpetually dressed in a red tracksuit and obsessed with the safety of his two sons. Margot, who's played by a frumped-up Gwyneth Paltrow, is unhappily married to a shrink played by Bill Murray. And Richie, that soulful Luke Wilson, spends his life racked with unrequited love for Margot, who was actually adopted. They're all living together in the old family house when Royal, who feels death breathing down his neck, returns in hopes of winning back the love of his family. Naturally, his kids aren't wholly delighted. But here he tells them his thinking.
"I've missed the hell out of you, my darlings. Well, you know that, though, don't you?"
"I hear you're dying."
"So they tell me."
"I'm sorry."
"Well, I've had a good run."
"You don't look so sick, Dad."
"Thank you."
"What have you got?"
"I got a pretty bad case of cancer."
"Oh, how long are you gonna last?"
"Not long."
"A month, a year?"
"About 6 weeks. Let me get to the point. The three of you and your mother are all I've got, and I love you more than anything." "Chaz, let me finish here."
While The Royal Tenenbaums is a very funny movie about kids and adults, and how it's often hard to tell them apart, it's also a story about loss, failure, and obsession. Royal is trying to regain his lost family. The Tenenbaum kids are dealing with the disappearance of their childhood genius. And even their childhood friend Eli, played by Owen Wilson, isn't immune to this. Although a best-selling novelist of psychedelic westerns, he wishes he could have had a magical childhood just like the Tenenbaums. This is a movie where everyone longs for something or someone they may not be able to have. Perhaps the deepest yearning is felt by Royal, who surprises even himself by how much his family comes to mean to him. He spent a lifetime being a cynic, a user, and a wretched father, the kind of man who'd cruelly give his 9-year-old daughter's play a bad review, then wonder why it hurt her feelings. But Royal's also a chaotic life force. It's his return home after decades that starts freeing all the characters, including himself, from their state of suspended animation. He's magnificently played by Hackman, who gives my favorite performance by any actor this year. Over the course of the movie, Royal is all sorts of things – petty, selfish, bigoted, callous, and often quite hilarious. But by the end, Hackman also makes him extremely moving. Wes Anderson is, of course, a brainy guy, and The Royal Tenenbaum self-consciously echoes things like Salinger's stories about the Glass family and Orson Welles' film The Magnificent Ambersons. But the surreal sensibility is all Anderson's own. The movie's filled with oddball flourishes that hark back to Rushmore, from the recurring use of a Dalmatian's spotted mouse to the way that everyone seems to be wearing some kind of a uniform. No movie this year has been thought out with nearly so much attention to detail, be it the immaculately composed shots, the crazy paintings on Eli's wall, or the ravishing slow-motion image of Margot approaching the love-struck Richie while a Nico song plays in the background. The Royal Tenenbaums is one of the year's very best movies, but I'd be lying if I said it were a complete triumph. This is not a perfectly polished gem like Rushmore. Bill Murray's character is disappointing, a couple of storylines don't quite pay off, and some of Anderson's stylistic touches are too precious by half. He's outgrown them and doesn't quite know it. But this isn't because Anderson has lost anything. It's because he's grown more ambitious. He's moving toward a richer, messier, more embracing vision of life, a vision that's both exceedingly odd and bracingly generous. While The Royal Tenenbaums begins in failure, isolation, and loss, it builds to a wedding sequence that shows us the whole family achieving a sense of fullness and connection. In such a moment, however tentative and fleeting, we see that the Tenenbaums, like all families, really do have a chance to be royal.
John Powers is media columnist and executive editor of the LA Weekly.